Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, April 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the stock market has been unpredictable at best, with large swings and losses almost daily. Many of us are worried about an uncertain financial future. To help with that, on today's show, we get some financial advice from Bob Canterbury, Senior Wealth Advisor at BST, an accounting, tax, and financial services consulting firm. Bob has 30 years of financial planning and wealth management experience, including investment planning, risk analysis, asset allocation, investment selection, and retirement planning. So if you have a question about finances, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Bob Canterbury and your finance calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. On today's program, we get some financial advice from Bob Canterbury, Senior Wealth Advisor at BST. Bob has 30 years of financial planning and wealth management experience, including investment planning, risk analysis, asset allocation, investment selection, and retirement planning. If you have a call about any of those things, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email, if you wish, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But the number to call is 800-348-2551. Bob Canterbury, welcome to the show, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Crazy times, eh?
I would say.
You're healthy, I hope?
Yes, I am. My family and I are healthy. Thank you very much for asking, and I hope the same for you.
So far, so good. Now, you know, we have seen, well, up until a couple of months ago, the markets were roaring, and things looked very good in people's IRAs and what have you. And then we hit a bit of a lull, and there has been a bounce back, but it's been a roller coaster. What are people coming in for now or talking to you about as you do financial planning?
Well, as you can imagine, I've received numerous phone calls and emails from clients and colleagues alike, trying to keep people calm amidst such chaos, especially in the investment world. With everything that's going on with the virus and the federal government stimulus package, which was passed just last Friday, I think a lot of people are wondering what they should do on many different fronts, not just from an investment standpoint, unemployment, these direct cash payments that people are scheduled to receive. I think reviewing 401ks and investments, Ray, is only a small part of a lot of the questions and concerns that I've had lately.
What is the biggest question you get lately?
Well, I would start with reviewing your 401k plan. I've kind of jokingly told people that I feel my job lately has been about 75% financial advisor and 25% therapist. Really just trying to keep people calm and really designing the right allocation, the right strategy that is commensurate with their tolerance for risk. So what I mean by that is, as you mentioned, the stock market has had a rough go of it since the beginning of the year. Many of the indexes are down 25, 30% or more since January 1st. And it's very difficult for the average individual to sit there and watch their account values just evaporate and not take action or not do anything. And when people call me, at least for my clients, the allocation, the mix of stocks and bonds that someone has, that should have been arranged previously, and typically it adjusts over time. So it typically would be highly unusual, for example, that I would see someone who was going to retire in a couple months that was 100% invested in the stock market.
Yeah.
Right? That just would not be appropriate. If someone has a balanced mix, let's say 60% stocks and 40% bonds, well, that equity piece, that stock piece has significantly dropped, And so now that allocation might be closer to 50-50 or even 40-60. And in that case, I think myself as an advisor and other advisors typically would look to rebalance portfolios a little bit for those accounts that I manage. But if I'm an individual and I have my 401k plan, I'm the only one who can go in there and make changes. So those are the calls that I get, Ray, for those that are kind of self-managing their accounts. You know, they're calling for advice on what to do.
You know, you mentioned reallocating assets. And, you know, for young people, I assume your prime advice is, hey, let it ride. Things will eventually work out. But what about those who are close to retirement or already there? That's a thornier issue, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's the fear factor, I would say, the panic and emotion factor for those who are closer to retirement is much higher. You know, it's quite possible that folks who thought they were going to retire, you know, in the next month or two or sometime this year might be rethinking that decision. And so you're exactly right. Younger individuals presumably would have a long enough time horizon to recover and rebound from what we're going through. If you look back statistically, and I've seen a chart recently about previous epidemics that have occurred, the market has been historically very resilient. Typically, it recovers on average in about 6 to 12 months.
Right.
Now, this is a completely different animal, though. I don't think you can lump in the coronavirus with all the other types of viruses that we've had. And I think most people would hope and expect that the economy will recover, but we have to get through it first. And so the question that I get quite often is, well, when is this going to turn around? And I don't think anyone has the answer to that. So that's why I encourage people to establish their game plan with retirement dates and the investment mix that's appropriate for that and stick to the plan. And just because of what you hear on TV or the radio, don't make emotional or panic decisions and all of a sudden just move all your money to cash, because then you have to decide, well, when am I going to get back in? And that's equally as difficult a choice.
I've heard people say, and we will take a break in a few moments and then we'll get to calls at 800-348-2551. I have heard people say it, and full disclosure, I am in no danger of ever becoming a multimillionaire. But I've heard it said that, oh yeah, well, the markets just took a hit. Now's the time to buy. True, not true?
Well, again, I think that depends. I think for most people that is a true statement. Because think of it this way, even if I am very close to retirement in the next few months or next couple of years, my retirement savings has to last for the rest of my life. Not my investment strategy just doesn't end when I retire.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at it that way, with that length of time, I think most people think that, yes, now might be a good time to buy stocks or invest in equities with the expectation that over the long run, we should see some very substantial growth once we can get through these turbulent economic times.
Do you think that the economy in general, and this is tough for you to look into a crystal ball, and I only ask your opinion, it's not legally binding in any way, but do you think that once the lockdown is done, and at least the first horrifying wave of the pandemic is done, and businesses are open again, that the economy will rebound quickly?
Well, good question. And in my opinion is, I'm hopeful that the answer is yes, because I watch the television every day, and I don't want to get too political on where people stand, but I think the federal government seems to be doing everything they possibly can to sustain the economy and make sure that the economy does well, that people are not out of work for any extended period of time, if at all possible. I think the economic impact of everything that we're seeing now remains to be seen, right? There's
right.
different industries. You've got airline industries, you've got cruise lines, hotels and restaurants. They've been hit very, very hard. But if you're the manufacturer of toilet paper or something like that, your business is booming these days. So overall, I think the economy will recover, The big question is a matter of when.
Yeah. Quickly, we'll have to take a break in 1 minute, and then we'll do calls. Mm-hmm. Can you parse for us in a minute or so how these small business loans are meant to work? In other words, the $2.2 trillion stimulus package includes these small business loans. How do they work?
Yes, in 1 minute, and then perhaps we can come back after the break.
Sure,
because
thing.
It's going to take a lot more time.
Yeah.
The federal government has basically created a bucket of $350 billion that is available for small businesses, in essence, to retain employees on the payroll without laying them off, if at all possible. And if they do that, they will qualify for a certain amount of a payroll protection program that's called the PPP, and that loan is designed to allow small businesses under 500 employees to keep people on the payroll and pay them for a short period of time until they can get back on their feet. There are a lot of provisions that I'd be happy to go into,
sure.
And I've gotten lots of questions after the break, but in essence, it's designed to prevent employers from having to lay people off in these times.
All right, I tell you what, Bob Canterbury, we will pick this up on the other side of the break. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Bob Canterbury is our guest, and we talk finances today. We'll get to your calls. We'll get back to the small business loans after this. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551 if you would like to call in. Bob Canterbury, Senior Wealth Advisor at BST, is our guest today. And Bob, before we get to back to the small business loans and exactly how they work, and I understand that you have looked into this whole business quite well, let's go to the phones and grab a caller from Hyde Park. It's Kathleen. Kathleen, you're on. Hello, Kathleen. Oh, boy. Kathleen's listening on the radio. All right, we're going to give Kathleen 1, 2, 3. Zach, the engineer, is shaking his head. Kathleen, are you there? Oh, Kathleen, call us again. All right, Bob, it's just you and me at the moment. Let's go back to the small business loans. I've heard the feds, and some in the federal government, call them groans. They're loans, but they almost act like grants if you follow the rules. Explain.
That's true. I like that terminology. The way that it's structured is that small businesses under 500 employees, and the definition of business has also been expanded to include self-employed individuals and contractors. So those individuals, starting tomorrow, April 3rd, will be able to go to their bank and request a loan to basically fund their payroll over the next 8 weeks. Mm. And there is going to be a huge inundated line of people going to their banks and lenders tomorrow with an application form that is currently available on the SBA website. And that application is designed to be very, very simple and allow employers to provide information about employees and their payroll. And the design is to allow these small businesses to get a grant, a loan, very, very quickly. In some cases, ideally, they'd be able to walk out the door that day with a deposit into the account. Now, that's not likely to happen because these banks are being incentivized by the federal government to make these loans.
Right.
And then at the end of the 8-week period, if the company, the business has met certain criteria, then that amount, that loan, will then be forgiven.
Isn't that a danger, however? In other words, unless you know all the P's and Q's of this rule, and you're a small business owner, say 50 employees, and you get this loan, and you think you followed everything, but you screwed something up in a minor way, then you got to pay that back, and that's a financial hit, right?
It is, but even if that occurs, let's take the scenario you just described. So, first of all, the amount that a small business can receive is equal to 2.5 times your monthly payroll. So let's just say, for example, that my monthly payroll is $10,000. I can actually get a loan for $25,000, and then there are stipulations of what I can use that for. So I have to use at least 75% of that money to pay my employees, to pay for paychecks. I can use the other 25%, up to 25%, to pay my own utilities, things like rent and Wi-Fi expenses, things of that nature. Now, at the end of 8 weeks, I have to go back to my lender and prove that I have not laid anyone off and I have met these criteria in order for that loan to be forgiven. Now, to your point, what if I don't meet all of those rules?
Right.
Well, there is a possibility that some of, not all of it, but some of that amount would then become a loan that you have to pay back, but the terms are very, very favorable. So even if that happens, let's take my example. They gave me $25,000. Maybe I didn't meet all the rules, and now I have $5,000 of that at the end that's not forgiven. Well, that becomes a loan, and the interest rate on that loan is 0.5%.
Well, that's pretty good.
A half a percent, which is virtually free, and I have up to 30 years to pay that back.
I see.
So even if that worst case scenario happens, I think the best case is that I meet all the criteria at the end of 8 weeks so that the entire amount would be forgiven.
Well, we're going to get to the phones in a moment, but let me ask you this. Isn't a term that is that favorable certainly welcoming for those who have no intention of following the rules? In other words, a 0.5% loan for 30 years is pretty darn good for any business. Did the federal government make those rules too lenient?
Well, that's a very good point. As we described, the worst case scenario is I come out on the other end, I get money today to basically pay my employees so they don't have to go on unemployment. I don't know, as a business owner, maybe I don't know when I can open my doors again, right? If I'm a car dealership or a restaurant, I don't know when I'll be able to open the door. So it's great that I can get money today to pay my employees, but what happens after 8 weeks?
Yeah.
Right? What if I can't get back and have a revenue stream? Then I have a problem or an issue. But to your point, absolutely. I would encourage virtually all small businesses to apply for these loans, and I expect all approved lending institutions, by the way, the SBA, Small Business Association, has designated most banks that have FDIC coverage. They're the ones that have to process all of these loans and the paperwork, and if you show up tomorrow at the bank, you better be darn sure that you have all the information you need, because the line is going to be out the door, I guarantee you.
Bob Canterbury is our guest. It's Vox Pop today. We talk about finance at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Bob in Hudson. Bob, you're on.
Yes, so I'm a sole proprietor. I do handyman, small construction work. No employees, but obviously many expenses. So will the loans assist someone like me?
Absolutely. Yes, they will. They've been expanded to include people just like you, self-employed or contractors, even if you don't have other employees. Now, the challenge for someone in that situation is you have to provide records of your income, your earnings. So if your income, presumably you're not performing, you know, the type of work that you do, you have to go back and look at your 2019, 12 months worth of payroll information to be able to prove to them what type, the amount of loan, rather, that you're eligible for. So you are eligible. That's the good news. The information is, if you're good at keeping records and your income, you would qualify to go into a bank and perhaps qualify for this loan that could be forgiven after 8 weeks.
Okay, you mentioned payroll information over the last 12 months. Of course, being a sole proprietor, there's no payroll. So you just mean records of income for the last 12 months.
Correct. That is correct. Now, I would also add that, and we haven't talked anything about the federal stimulus package, but unemployment benefits are also available to self-employed individuals and contractors. So you can apply for a loan based on your business situation, or you can apply for unemployment.
But not both? Now,
not both. Correct. Not both. So with unemployment, that typically we've seen a lot of folks who maybe a few weeks ago were laid off from their job, and they immediately applied for unemployment, which has become a huge burden, let's say, on New York State to process all of the calls and requests they receive for unemployment. But the federal government enhanced unemployment and extended it to contractors, self-employed, freelancers, which were not included under unemployment previously. Huh. So there's actually a decision there, if you think about it. Am I better off applying for unemployment benefits? Depending on the amount of income that you had before, I would add a key element to that is that the federal government, part of the stimulus package, will add or bump up the normal unemployment amount that you were eligible for. They're going to increase that by $600 a week. And to give you a perspective on that, the national average of unemployment benefits typically is about $400 a week. So think of that. If my New York State unemployment was $400, now I'm getting an additional $600. That's $1,000 a week that I could get from unemployment. Mm. Versus, should I go in for that business loan? Granted, it may be forgiven. It really depends on each business as to which may be more beneficial.
All right, let me just follow up on this unemployment before we take our next call at 800-348-2551. You say that this has now been opened up to freelancers and various others who ordinarily wouldn't get unemployment. I'm interested in how this works. Now, let's just say someone like, let's call him Ray, is a lousy musician, and he gigs once every 6 months. All of a sudden now he can go for unemployment?
Well, not necessarily, and I guess I should make the distinction between the worker and the business, right? We were talking about the small business applying for a loan, and that gentleman who called earlier was self-employed.
Right, but I thought you said freelancers may also now apply for unemployment.
That is true. That is true. On your tax return, if you file, right, as a self-employed individual, when you, in your example, if you do random gigs around the area, if you're declaring that as income as a self-employed, then yes. If you're receiving pay as an employee, right now that's the worker perspective that we were talking about. So I just wanted to clarify the difference.
Bob Catterbury is our guest. We talk finances today at 800-348-2551. And Dave is in Turner's Falls. Dave.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, my call is similar to the last caller's in that I am also self-employed, and I have a retail bicycle store, and I am sole proprietor. I do not have any employees, so I heard what you're saying about the unemployment and things, but in my business, it's a little different because it includes retail sales, which I am losing a lot of right now because the bicycle season is right now beginning to be in full swing, and it lasts for a couple of months where that's the predominant part of the sales.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have heavy losses, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
and I don't know that there's anything that can help me out in these programs.
I believe that there is, again, very similar to the other gentleman, with respect to a significant loss or decrease in revenue. I think as a business owner, you have to ask yourself, you know, after this blows over, do I think I will be able to continue with a viable business? And if the answer is yes, you know, maybe I'd like to grow my business and hire employees if it's that profitable. But I would encourage you and the other gentleman to go to the bank and download the form, the application form that I'm referring to, and take the approach as I am a business that needs a loan to stay in business. And even if it's just you as an individual, even you know a small company like 5 or 10 employees would qualify as well, under 500. And if you fill out that application, that bank will determine if you are eligible for the loan, which can be forgiven, as I said, after 8 weeks. So that's what I would encourage both of the self-employed individuals to do.
Dave?
Okay. I'm not sure how that works in terms of if it's a loan and I don't have any employees and it's, you know, not my labor that I'm trying to mm-hmm. But it's the loss of the profit from the inventory that I'm carrying that I'm going to lose and probably never get back.
Well, I will admit that there are a lot of questions, and I think what you're delving into a little bit is, well, what is the bank going to request? What are they going to need from me to justify that loan? As I said, the provisions, and there are still a lot of questions that I would expect to come out of tomorrow when the banks first become eligible to do these loans. I think there's going to be some questions about, well, what documentation, what information are they actually going to need? What they're basically saying is the payroll information. So in this case, if you're just a sole proprietor, they're going to look at your income over a 12-month period. They're going to take the average of that, and you'll be able to get a loan amount equal to 2.5 times your monthly payroll. So in this case, it's just you, right? It's not other employees. But that bank will go into the details as far as what other financial statements might we need to make this loan. The federal government is kind of pushing all that directly to the lending institutions. And then once approved, the federal government is saying, okay, we've got a bucket of $350 billion. Take it out of there. And then at the end of 8 weeks, we'll determine if it's all forgiven or if there's a portion of it that might roll over and just become a loan.
Dave, thank you very much for the call. Bob Canterbury is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Even given the extremely advantageous terms of this loan, one would assume that after all this is done and people are back to work, there will be those businesses that go belly up. And I just wondered, and maybe you don't know the answer to this, say I was a business owner, I took out one of these loans, even at 0.5% interest, which is great, and I go bankrupt. If you go Chapter 7 or Chapter 11, will that loan then be forgiven?
We don't know the answer to that. There's different types of bankruptcies, Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and I don't know enough about the bankruptcy laws as to whether or not that loan may be forgiven. It's quite possible, but I just don't know.
Okay, let's take another call, and then we'll take a break. We go over to Carol in Ulster County. Carol, you're on.
Yes, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you fill out, we have a small business. We have 2 employees that supposedly landscape company, my husband could work, but the employees can't. So it's hard for him to do the big job by himself. So we are filling out the economic disaster sole proprietor loan. And then I saw today this new loan, this paycheck protection loan. Now, we can't put anybody if we want to, but we can't put anybody on the payroll now. And so I saw the rate. I was listening to the rate. It's so much lower than that small business loan. And I'm really confused which direction we should go, because he can work, but he really can't do all the jobs, and they don't even want him on the property. So the people that he can do that aren't there, because they're big jobs, versus this one here that you can get a loan for a lot less interest rate. But if it's not all payroll, or is it for helping us with the payroll when we get back up and running? I'm a little confused versus that economic disaster sole proprietor loan I'm filling out that I just sent out this morning.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you kind of brushed on a few different topics there, but let me go back to the beginning. The federal government actually rolled out a few weeks ago something called a disaster loan. And that was the first type of loan that became available where business owners could get money very, very quickly, but that was a loan. There was no forgivable provision to that.
Right.
And then subsequently, last week, they rolled out the Payment Protection Program, which is a second type of loan that can be forgiven. So there are some businesses who have applied for that initial disaster loan, and there are limitations on how much that can be. Some firms have already received that payment because it came out a few weeks ago. And now they're offering this protection payment program where I can go into the bank and apply for 2.5 times my payroll. Now, in your situation, to answer your question, if you have a few employees, it sounds like you probably have records as to you know what your payroll has been. And you would need to bring those records into the bank along with the application form so that they could look at your situation and say, okay, we see that you've got the initial disaster loan. Now we're going to turn to the PPP loan, which is the only the one that could potentially be forgiven. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. It does. So it doesn't matter. I just sent out the disaster loan less than an hour ago, and then I got in the car and I started hearing you.
Right.
So I could still go ahead with this PPL loan tomorrow, of like...
Even though the disaster loan application is already in the mail, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and also... My other question is, right now, we are not allowed to have employees on the site.
Okay. We have to take a
break. Only he can. So really quick, I can use it for something else, like the mortgage and the rent and all the bills and all the expenses in the meantime? Like, I heard you say something like that.
Yeah, correct. The disaster loan can pretty much be used for anything.
Okay.
Because, remember, it's not being forgiven. The PPP loan... Right. Has to meet certain criteria. 75% has to go to pay employees, and then it's forgiven. So you're correct. There's kind of two different types of loans there.
All right. I will not be forgiven if I don't take an underwriting break. So let's do it now. Bob Catterbury is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. Horace Silver here on Vox Pop. It is Finances Today. Bob Catterbury is our guest. I'm Ray Graff. The number is 800-348-2551. And, Bob, the lines are loaded. Really appreciate you making time to be with us today. So let's just jump back right to the phones. We'll go to Penny in Delmar. Penny.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about the standard distribution that we have to take. I heard that it was... eliminated for the year 2020. Number one, is that correct? And number two, are the stipulations attached to that?
You are correct. It's actually referred to as the required minimum distribution. And that's
right.
A rule that applies to both 401k plans and IRAs. Recently they moved the age for those required distributions. They pushed it from age 70 and a half to age 72. So that was brand new. But now they just rolled out a new rule that said anyone that is required to take that type of distribution in 2020, you do not have to do it, that you are exempt from doing it this year. And so I can postpone and pick that up beginning in 2021. So that is correct.
Now, do you have to take a 2020s in 2021, or can it just be eliminated?
It's just eliminated. So it's not like
great.
You have to double up for next year. It's just eliminated,
great.
And then you kind of take the next one, just one for next year.
And that applies to anyone. There's no stipulation.
It does. And when I say that, it also applies to inherited IRAs. So, for example,
okay.
if I was a non-spouse beneficiary, there's
yes.
a rule that says I got to take the money out over 10 years. Well,
right.
you don't have to do that for 2020. It applies to that as well.
Great. Thank you so much.
Penny, thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Bob Canterbury is our guest from BST, and the number is 800-348-2551. Steve in Pittsfield. Steve, you're on.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Bob. Great show.
Thank you.
My questions, tomorrow, obviously, we can apply for this paycheck protection loan at our local bank. I wanted to know, do we go online first and print the application, or will they have the application at the bank? That's my first question. And since I employ 9 people with my business in Pittsfield, how many weeks of payroll should I bring with me to the bank to show the loan officer?
Good question. So you can go online to SBA.com. And download the application. I would encourage you to obtain that somehow. Most banks also will now be posting that. I've seen copies starting to circulate from local banks of the application. It's 2 pages. It's very simple. There are boxes at the top that ask you for your average monthly payroll, the number of employees that you have, and the 2.5 times is relatively easily calculated. So the first thing is, yes, I would get the form. I would print that out ahead of time. Now, there's been a lot of debate and discussion about what payroll period are they using. And the answer is you would want to obtain payroll information going all the way back to January of 2019, because it is not clear whether or not they're going to look at the average monthly from January 1st of 2019 through December 31st, or are they going to use the last 12 trailing months? So if I'm applying for a loan tomorrow, are they going back to April 3rd of 2019? That's not entirely clear. It's just, the
Why
box
is it
just
not
says,
clear, Bob?
Unfortunately, I think the federal government, a lot of this, Ray, is not clear. These are questions that a lot of people are they've left it up to the lending institutions in large part. So that has been a big topic of discussion is, well, what's included in my payroll? And I can tell you that it includes, of course, salary, right, that I pay my employees.
Right.
But it also includes other costs like rent, interest on my mortgage. In some cases, it might even include employer matching contributions that the employer makes in the 401k plan. So I would encourage you to bring err on the cautious side and bring more information to the bank rather than find out, oh, my goodness, I didn't have enough and I have to go to the back of the line, you know, for this loan application, because those lines are going to be long.
Okay, so you're more is less is what you're saying here. Bring from January 2019 to the present.
Yes, that would be a safe bet. Yep.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for the call. Our guest is Bob Canterbury of BST. He's a senior wealth advisor. Very quickly, and the lines are loaded, Bob, so we can't take up too much time. But what happened with regard to student loans?
Student loans have basically been suspended until September 30th of 2020. So a couple things about that. If I am currently paying on a student loan, I can stop. I don't have to make any payments, and I will not incur any interest or any penalty. Now, if you are on any type of automatic payment system with your student loan,
right,
that will not automatically shut off. So those individuals would have to contact their lender or where the bank, wherever those payments are coming from, to turn those off. But basically, you're getting, you know, almost a six-month reprieve with no interest and no penalties on student loans.
Okay, back to the phones we go, and Judy and Troy. Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Okay, so until 2.5 weeks ago, I was collecting Social Security and was driving Uber. I'm in a high-risk group. I'm almost 64, and I have allergy-induced asthma, so I had to stop. So if I get this new unemployment that's now eligible for Uber drivers and the additional $600 a week, that's obviously going to affect my Social Security, correct?
Well, that's a good question. For those that are collecting Social Security, what you're referring to is that there's something called an earnings limitation, and that only applies until someone reaches full retirement age. So I think you said if you're 64, your full retirement age.
I'm not even 64 yet, so.
Okay. So you're not at full retirement age, which means this annual earnings limit applies. And I think that earnings limit is currently around $17,000 to $18,000 a year. So typically speaking, payments like unemployment or any payments that are not in conjunction with working would not count against that earnings limitation. I am not 100% certain about that, though, so I'd probably refer you to your tax person just to clarify, but I don't think those payments would count as earnings for, and reduce your Social Security check.
Okay, that sounds helpful. I have to take it either way because I can't survive on my Social Security check.
Right.
And then my other question is kind of similar. It's probably going to affect what I pay for my health insurance because I have the Essential plan now. And if I make more than $400 a month gross, I have to get bumped up to the next very expensive monthly payment.
There's some stipulation in the federal law with respect to reporting on your tax return for 2020. So as most people know, the vast majority of people are going to be eligible for these cash payments as well. The lady that just called was talking about unemployment, but we haven't gotten any questions about these cash payments, which are supposed to be forthcoming in just a couple of weeks.
Right.
And my understanding is that there will be some sort of tax credits associated with these payments so that it doesn't automatically boost up your AGI next year and have a ripple effect on other things like that lady just said with Social Security earnings, and maybe it disqualifies me for certain things because it pushes up my AGI. There are supposed to be some tax credits when you do your tax return next April that will alleviate some of these concerns.
Now, with all due respect, that's a little vague. In other words, we've had a lot of questions about this over the coming in via email over the last week or two, saying, "Hey, I'm going to get the $2,400. My wife and I are going to get $2,400, and we have some kids, and we'll have this money. Will then that be taxable?" And you're saying there will be some credits, but we're not sure exactly how much that will total.
Well, there's a difference. The answer to that is that these payments are not taxable. So when I receive these payments, they're not going to be taxable, and there may be an applicable tax credit called a rebate credit for 2020.
Interesting.
So no, the answer is that those payments are not taxable.
Okay.
We know that for sure.
Well, you cleared that. Thank you, Bob. You cleared that up. Let's go to Nicole in Saugerties. Nicole, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My business partner and I own two LLCs that both operate three restaurants between them, and we have approximately 50 employees. I have a couple of questions. Are my business partner and I eligible for unemployment insurance under the new rules is the first question. And two, are we allowed to include our own compensation? We're fully involved full-time in the operation of our businesses. Can we include our own compensation in the payroll expense amount used in the formula for determining the amount of the PPE loan?
Yes. You have to make a choice between unemployment
right.
or the PPP program. The whole purpose mm-hmm. of the PPP program is so that you and your employees will avoid getting laid off. So if, as a business owner and a restaurant owner, remember that the payroll amount that you submit for your employees and your partners, there is a dollar limit of $100,000 of compensation that you can count per employee. So
right.
if there are owners or partners of the business, when you list your payroll, it's going to be limited to $100,000. That's the maximum you can apply for any employee.
Right. Okay. So
okay.
if I understand you correctly, then, you're saying that in terms of how my business partner and I get covered, we either have to leave it out of the payroll expense amount under the PPE application and apply for unemployment, or we can just go do the PPE and include our compensation in that amount, up to $100,000.
Correct. So you either don't apply for the PPP loan at all and go get unemployment, which is probably not the best choice there, or
that makes no sense at all.
Go to the bank, and when you submit your payroll, if you have 50 employees, and let's say your compensation as an owner is $200,000, well, you're only allowed to use $100,000 of that as your own compensation.
Uh-huh.
Right, correct.
The total payroll with a cap of $100,000 for any owner or employee. So for you, I would encourage you, if you haven't set up an appointment with your bank, the PPP loan is probably the best avenue for you as opposed to unemployment.
All right, Nicole, thanks a lot. We only have time for one more here. And Donald in Hobart, you have 1 minute with Bob Canterbury.
Thank you for taking my call. I am part of my income comes from being a landlord, and some of my tenants have lost their job. And part of my income comes from restoring furniture. How does that figure into the PPP program?
All right, 30 seconds, Bob.
Well, it really depends on how you file your tax return. It sounds like you're filing as self-employed. I think the rental income...
Yes.
is separate, right? Because I don't have to be self-employed to own an apartment building. But on the self-employed
yes.
side, if you make furniture, you should be eligible for the PPP loan, and you would need records to go to the bank to determine how much that loan amount could be and then meet the criteria for that to be forgiven after 8 weeks.
All right, that's it. We will have to leave it there. Bob Canterbury, I got to tell you, you did a tremendous job today. We left so many people on the line. I hope you come back soon. Is that all right?
Yes, I would like to come back, Ray. Thank you very much for having me.
Beautiful job. Support comes from Gardner Supply at Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned for over 50 years, offering annuals, perennials, nursery stock, organic fertilizer, and advice, hadleygardencenter.com. And Honest Wheat Food Co-op, local and organic food and products with a focus on sustainability. Open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily. All are welcome. Albany's homegrown grocery store, honestwheat.com. Well, that was great. Bob Canterbury of BST, thanks again for being here. Thank you for listening. My sincere apologies if we left you on the line, and we left a lot of you on the line. We'll come. You know what? We'll make sure Bob comes back. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Thanks to our producer, Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on Food Friday, we talk nutrition and healthy eating. I'm told Jackie Orchard is going to make homemade granola bars. What could go wrong? Well, we'll find out. Stand by for the Capital Connection.